All right, this morning, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. In our Sunday school class, we are studying little people that make a big difference. And by the way, little, that's not something meant to say they're small in stature. It's people many times that are unnamed. It's people like the widow that gave her two mites. Last week, it was on the Syrophoenician woman and her request for her daughter. And we learned some lessons about that, that Jesus Christ wants a humble heart from us. And so there are all kinds of little people in Scripture. Can somebody name me another little person? Somebody that maybe is not named in Scripture, someone not real famous, but someone that made a difference. Somebody else. Brandon. Naaman's servant. That's a good one. Just a little girl, young lady, probably in her teens, that made an eternal difference for a lot of people. Somebody else. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
The little boy who gave his lunch.
How about the little boy that gave his lunch? I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of kids, and I walk by in the lunchroom, and I say, hey, can I have that? And they put their hand over it and say, don't touch it, that's mine. And so you get a little boy that shares his lunch with 5,000 people. That's pretty cool. A lot of lessons to be learned. Somebody else? Anybody else? Anybody else with a little people? Well, today we have a little lady. And if you have your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 4, and you'll notice, if you would, verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Now, she's a great woman, and the reason he uses that, she's not even named. She's not famous, but she's a great woman because of what she did, because of her heart. So little people can be great in God's eyes. And that's what I want you to get today. That's the lesson today. Being great while small. Notice, if you would. And so she constrained him to eat bread. So she was a great woman, and we're going to look at it in a minute. Why? But in verse number eight, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So here's the preacher driving by in his cart or riding on his animal or walking, whatever, doesn't really say. But he had his servant with him, and they both went in and ate with her on a regular basis. It sort of became their stop. Now, you have to understand, back in this day, people were very hospitable. You didn't see somebody sitting outside with no place to go and no place to put up for the night and nothing to eat. You didn't see that. The Jews were required to take them in. So you'll find that was sort of their mantra, was to take their own people in and take care of them. That was the reason it was such a shock that Joseph and Mary had to spend the night in a stable. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 9, and she said to her husband, behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Now, there's a lesson in that. How did she know that? Because of the godliness of Elijah. Notice, if you would, verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Now let me explain this to you. That is no small thing. That would be like a preacher coming into town on a regular basis. And you said, you know, I want to be a blessing to the missionaries or to the preachers. I want to be a blessing to them. Hey, honey, could we build an addition onto our house? Could we furnish it? That's what she's saying. In other words, this lady had a vision for what was going on. Notice, if you would, in verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi's servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. It's like, yes, sir, what can I do for you, Elisha? He said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. You've been thoughtful for us. You've watched out for our needs. Wouldest thou be spoken? What shall be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to for the king? Now, Elisha was very close to the king that day. And so it was a great honor to be spoken of for the king. And the king say, would you come and eat at my table? Now, you'll notice Barzillai, whenever David was running, was offered to eat at David's table after Absalom was slain. And he said, no, I'm too old. I couldn't even taste the food very well, but let my servant do it. And so David did. It was a great honor to have a seat at the table of the king. And by the way, it's going to be a great honor for those of us that are saved to have a place at the table of the King of Kings at the Supper of the Lamb. We're going to be there. I don't think we understand all the parallels that are in Scripture. Well, you'll notice. Now, I want to take just a minute and pause here in verse 13. And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. In other words, that would be a great honor for me. It's a great privilege. But, you know, I'm very comfortable being with the people that I am. I'm very comfortable. We don't have a lot, but I'm comfortable to be here. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us, verse 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? So Elisha's not going to let it drop. And I think when people are good to us, we need to figure out some way to say thank you. And there are people that, that give gift cards or write notes and cards or invite people over for a dinner or do things for them just to say thank you. Well, here's Elisha saying, look, I got to do something for her. She built an addition onto her home. She furnished it. It's not right for me to take advantage of that. What can I do for her? And you'll notice in verse number 14, and Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. So her gift of appreciation was she was going to have a son. Now, we'll pause right there. And I want you to go back and look at different things that made this lady great. Well, number one, she had an interest in spiritual things. She had an interest in spiritual things. You'll notice up in verse number 9, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Not everybody recognizes that. Not everybody sees someone for the spiritual heart that they have. Now, my prayer is that we as parents can see the spiritual heart of our children and perceive if there's one there. Do they have spiritual interest? Are they interested in things of the Lord? Here, this is the lady that sees a stranger walk by and has him eat with her a few times and says, this I perceive this is a man of God, a holy man of God. In other words, he is clean and pure. Perhaps what would be one of the things that she would notice that would cause her to think he's a spiritual man? Andrew? His language. Yep. He had a pleasant speech about him, I'm sure. Something else. It wasn't real obvious, Matt. Humility. Yep. But what do you think he did? Do you think he prayed for his food? I mean, he sat down and she brought out food and he sat down and he blessed the meal. And, I'm not going to say much about this, but I was out the other day with some of the people regarding the land and supervisors, people like that. They brought the meal, breakfast, and everybody's getting their forks up. And I said, do you mind if I pray for the meal? Oh, no. And I just noticed that there's an absence, but all of them would be called Christians. All of them would claim to be saved. So I noticed there's a difference between being saved and being spiritual. And she perceived that. It could be with speech. It could be with actions. It could be the way they carry themselves, things that they do, the interest they show in things. So notice, if you would, she constrained Elisha to eat with her. So she was hospitable. This is a part of what made her great. I wonder why she was the only one that did that. It doesn't say that anybody else invited him in. Only her. And so you'll notice she invited him to eat with them and stay with them for a while. And then as it got to be more consistent, she goes to her husband and says, hey, honey, could we build an addition on? Notice this in verse number 9. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber. You'll notice she had a heart of hospitality. She wanted to be a blessing. You know, a church could not operate without people like that. Without people that always want to chip in and do something, be a part. And that was her. She was great because she noticed a spiritual need. She noticed a physical need. You'll also notice she was great because she handled as a wife properly. She didn't say, I'm going to go build him a chamber. She goes to her husband and say, hey, let us build him a chamber. Could we build him a chamber? Now, that's a pretty big ask, you think about it. And obviously, they were together. Obviously, she had a sweet marriage because they did it. They built it. But I wondered why he didn't notice and he didn't bring it up to her. She was a great lady because she noticed it and did it the right way. You know, she was a godly lady, and she handled her own desires the right way. Not only that, she respected and talked to her husband graciously. You can see that here. Let us make, and she spells it all out. Notice what she does. Let him set for them a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. I know a lot of husbands say, let him get his own. Hey, do we have to provide everything? I mean, thoughtful. My goodness. And you'll notice, think about what she said. A bed, he needs to sleep. Notice this, a table, he needs to study. He needs a place to eat. A stool, a place to sit. And a candlestick. A light for at night when he comes in late, we want him to have a candlestick. I mean, thoughtful. This is a godly lady. One that thinks of others before herself. Notice, if you would, not only that, someone brought it up. She's a hard worker and very creative. I mean, I'm telling you, this didn't just happen, this addition and all of this furniture and stuff. I remember whenever we would have somebody come over, like when Dr. Sis would come over. Susan, whenever we had the servant suite done. How many of you have seen the servant suite? Okay? It's nice. Very nice. And all the missionaries that stayed there said, man, this is the nicest service suite. I want to stay here. Now, I'll be frank with you. I'm not so sharp, but my wife was pretty sharp in picking up things like that. And so I said, well, honey, you decorate the servant suite. And you know, when you say that, you have to go like this, you know. You have to watch the expenditures. And so she goes out and picks out the countertop in there is I forget the name of it, some special countertop color. That was very expensive, but it was a piece of it, so it wasn't that expensive. I said, honey, sure, we can get something cheaper. It's for the missionaries. Okay. And then there's a couch there. There's a U-shaped couch, and it's all leather. She said, well, we want it to last. And, you know, when the children spill something, you don't want them to be beat on by their parents because they messed up the stuff in the servant suite. So let's make it where it's leather so they can just wipe it right up. I said, you know how much a leather sectional is, honey? Well, it's for the missionaries. I know. That's this lady here. She was very thoughtful. Now, you know, notice, if you would, in verse number 13, she obviously did not do it to get something in return. A lot of people give things and think of things in hopes that maybe they can get something back. This lady was doing it only for the grace of God, only to be a blessing. Now that makes everyone great. When you are just doing something for the grace of God, because you want the Lord to be blessed and you want this person to be blessed, you want nothing in return. There are people that they give special donations to the church from time to time and give it and say, just give this to somebody, but don't use my name. I've had people write checks for tens of thousands of dollars and say, don't use my name. If I give you this check, can you keep it quiet? I don't want anybody to know. Sure. That's what this lady is. That's a part of what makes her great. This humility of heart. And you'll notice in verse number 13, wouldst thou be spoken of for the king or to the captain of the host? The captain of the host would watch you carefully and keep you safe. When other people don't, they'd make sure and watch out for you. And not only did she not want notoriety or protection, but you'll notice he says in verse number 13, and she answered, I dwell among my own people. I'm okay. That's okay. Thank you for your thoughtfulness, but no thank you. A humble heart. A chance to step up the ladder socially because of something she did. What does she do? Oh, no thank you. It is important that you and I learn to do things quietly. That we learn to be a blessing. A lot of people have gotten their feelings hurt because they said, nobody notices what I do. And, you know, I have to be careful sometimes. There are some people at church that, you know, they'll help you, but I know that they're wanting to get a position. I know they want to have respect. And don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to help. But if you have an ulterior motive, you have to be careful to make sure that's clean and pure. She had none. She's a great lady. But not only that. This one is, we didn't read the passage. But she was spiritually perceptive enough to notice that Gehazi wasn't real. Now, if you were to take your Bible and turn to chapter 5, 2 Kings 5, notice if you would. Second Kings 4:30. Her son has died. She laid him on the bed in the little prophet's chamber that she had built. And she went to get Elisha. So she goes to him, and notice in verse 27, and when she came to the man of God to the heel, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near and thrust her away. Now, does anybody remember the lesson? We read it. Who was it that suggested that she didn't have a son and it would be a great blessing if Elisha would pray for her to have a son? Who was it that said that? Anybody know? Gehazi. So he was a pastor and he had some spiritual things about him. Well, I can figure out what she would really like, but he wasn't real. Notice if you would in verse number 27. Gehazi came near to thrust her away. So he's trying to protect Elisha. And notice if you would. And Elisha said, and the man of God said, verse 27, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. You know, he didn't even realize she was brokenhearted. I mean, that's the reason she came and fell at Elisha's feet. It's not like she came to beg for something else. Oh, I want some money or I want this or that. That's why he would thrust her away. He couldn't even tell that her heart was broken. Do you remember somebody else that couldn't tell when another lady's heart was broken in Scripture? A famous preacher? Eli. When Hannah came, was pouring her heart out to the Lord for a son. Eli comes and says, it's too early for you to be drinking in the morning, because she was there that morning praying. If you're not real, you don't have spiritual eyes. You can't see the needs of people. This lady was real and she could see spiritually. Notice if you would then in verse number 28, and she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Don't trick me. Don't give me a son and then take him away. Don't tell me that you're going to give me a son and then not. So she was trying to tell Elisha because it was such a miracle for her to have children. She was barren. And Elisha said, no, I'm not funning with you. You're going to have a son. So she goes back and said, why, Elisha, did you give me a son and then him die so young? Just so difficult. And notice, if you would, verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet a man, any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. It's important that you get to the child quickly. Lay my staff upon the child's face, and he'll revive. In verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She was not going to follow Gehazi. She didn't think he could help. She knew Elisha could help. She had spiritual eyes. And you'll notice in verse number 31, you know, Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him and said, the child is not awaked. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. He went in therefore, and as you know, I'm not going to read it, he raised the child from the dead. She could tell that Gehazi had something missing. And folks, today, I pray that you don't have something missing in your heart, but that you're real. You're at church for the Lord's sake. You read your Bible for the Lord's sake. You give for the Lord's sake. You change your life to grow in the grace of God for the Lord's sake. You're trying your best to do what is right because you want to please the Lord and grow. There are all kinds of reasons we grow. Gehazi had the wrong one. And by the way, in the end, he ended up being a leper because he was a thief and a liar. So my point is, she could see that. Oh, she couldn't see all that he was going to do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you can just get around people and you can just tell, I don't think they're real. They look good, but I'm just not sure they're real. And young people, it's important for you that you be real. Because you know what? Spiritual people can see it. They can tell it. And this lady was a spiritual giant. Now, I want you to notice verse number 37, she was very thankful for when the blessings came. Notice, if you would, in verse 37, when her son was healed, then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. In other words, whenever Elisha healed her son, she goes in and she falls on the ground before him and said, thank you, Elisha. How do I say thank you? An appreciative heart is always indicative of a spiritual heart. At least you can't have a spiritual heart without having a thankful heart. There are people that are unspiritual that are thankful, but there are no spiritual people that are unthankful. It's a part of the spiritual life. So you can see why she was a spiritual lady. But I want you to notice this, and then we'll close with this. What are the benefits of being a great lady while little? Well, number one, she had a great testimony. We don't have time to read it, but Gehazi told the king about her later on and about her son. Notice in verse 17, when the child was born, she got to have a son. One of the benefits of being spiritual is you do the right things and blessings come down the road. And that's exactly what happened for her. She had blessings down the road, a son, and she was barren. If she hadn't have thought about Elisha first, she would have never had that son. Because Elisha prayed for her to have a son out of the appreciation of his heart for what she had done. Many times we don't realize, folks, but you're going to have blessings in your life because you've done the right thing. Blessings follow doing the right thing. There's a God in heaven that sees to that. But you'll notice not only that, she had more possessions than you could imagine. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Kings 8, verse number 6. Now, she had had some hard times in her life. In verse 3, came to pass at the 7 years' end, there's been a famine, and at the end of 7 years, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines and went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. So she lost everything. And so she's trying to figure out how to get to the king to cry to him because he's the judge of the land. I left the property for 7 years and somebody took it over. It's mine. Could I get it back? Would you help me? And notice if you would. It came to pass, verse 5, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body, the king said, tell me about Elisha. I've heard great things about him. So Gehazi is a leper, but he's telling the king at a distance all about Elisha. And he says, I remember one time he raised a boy from the dead. And he sees this lady coming up. And he sees the boy. And he says, that's the lady. That's her. And notice, if you would, verse 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Now, boy, that's a blessing. That's like, you know, I visited with a family yesterday that during the government shutdown, they don't get paid. But they get payment when it does start back up, and they get all their back pay. Well, can you imagine if the government's sitting down for 7 years and they get their back pay? That's what happened to her. You want to know why? She was still doing right. Still doing right. So doing right always pays. And we can learn it, a lesson from a lady that's not even named. So today, have a humble heart. Have spiritual eyes. Be hospitable. Think of others before yourself. Don't do things to get. And trust the Lord to take care of you and provide, and he'll always do it. The Shunem lady was great because she was a sweet Christian lady. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for little people that become great in your eyes. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the people of Temple Baptist Church to have that same spiritual heart that the lady of Shunem had. In your name we pray. Amen.